Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Shanna. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
Just okay. Tell me.
Yeah, well, that baseball game that we just watched.
That we watched together at the end.
was less than desirable for me.
Yeah, we have been on our Zoom recording. Well, our Zoom meeting, excuse me, for like 20 minutes now. But, okay, we haven't had a baseball minute in a while on these episodes. So sorry.
Who are we?
For those of you who don't care. But we are coming down to the wire and my team and my husband's team is the Cincinnati Reds and your husband's team is the Cubs. And so therefore, like when they play, you root for the Cubs as well, even though the Yankees really have your heart. But right now the Cubs and the Reds are neck and neck for a wild card spot, and the Cubs, we needed the Cubs to lose tonight and they did. So yeah, we're celebrating
at
over
the
here.
at the last minute, like the top of the ninth.
Yeah, which is why we kind of watched it together. Although your guys's feed was a little like four or five seconds ahead of ours.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize, like,
I'm like, John Eric turned the TV off. And I was like, oh.
And you were like, oh, okay.
And then a few minutes later, I hear him go, yeah. Like, I hear Matthew cheer. So I'm like, oh, yeah. He just saw the ending.
Struck him out.
So yeah. it was not a great baseball night in the Dinsmore household.
That's but the okay. Reds won.
What a good gift.
They beat the Guardians.
Baseball is.
So, anyways.
Yeah. What have you been up to? You and I both, I feel like the last couple of weeks have had pretty busy weekends. I know you went to a conference and then I went to a conference. So, what have you been up to?
Yeah. Life has been really good. We had a week where everything that we scheduled for the month of September happened in 1 week. So we didn't have anything on Monday night, but then Tuesday night we went to part of our, a wedding present that we gave to ourselves with the money that we got for our wedding was
pause. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What a really cool investment into you guys.
Yeah. So we got season tickets to the Broadway, like across America that comes through here in Cincinnati. And so, I think we have now 6 or 7 shows that we have all throughout, like, from here until I think sometime in March or April. So they're like built-in monthly date nights.
I love that. It's a really great investment for your marriage. And also I'm thinking back to when you guys like were talking and he took my spot at Hamilton.
He did take your spot in Hamilton.
And I was like, you know, I'll allow it. But also now he likes Broadway musicals.
Oh yeah, he
loves
them.
How cool is that?
So we went to see MJ the musical, which was phenomenal. If it comes to your city, I highly recommend going and watching it. Even if you aren't like a giant Michael Jackson fan, it felt like you were at a concert. It was unlike if you don't like musicals, I would still recommend going and watching this because most of the songs are familiar to you. So you're going to sing along with them kind of in your head or in your seat, and people were dancing along. And
I wonder if that's the same one that's in Vegas, because my husband goes for conferences and sometimes I'll tag along and I don't really have anything to do during the day. But they have like a whole Michael Jackson thing at one of the theaters. And I wonder.
It could be. It was phenomenal. So I highly suggest going to that. Then Wednesday night, my husband likes wrestling, like WWE wrestling type stuff. And so it came into town Wednesday night, not WWE, but a different like company of it. So we went to that on Wednesday night. And then Thursday night I had something. And then Friday and Saturday we had the conference. So like that week, everything that we did on in September happened that week. And we were very tired.
Yeah.
But it's been really good. The conference was amazing. It was a counseling and biblical discipleship is what they call it. Counseling and discipleship training.
Two things that is close to your heart.
Exactly. And I've been through it before, but this was Matt's first time. And we went with, I want to say there were 13 of us from our church, which our church is like 40 people. So this church plant that we go to, it's really tiny.
Like a third of your church.
To have that many people go was really cool and really encouraging. So it was a fun weekend to be able to spend with our church family and just learning the word and learning how to biblically counsel, mm-hmm. using the Bible to solve everyday problems. So yeah.
as a church plant, I think that's so incredible because what a solid foundation mm-hmm. that they're laying as a church plant, and then also really investing and committing to building disciples, like healthy disciples. And so I love to hear that. That's really fun.
We're also launching this fall a counseling center at our church. And so this was kind of one of the steps to doing that, is having people that at least knew what counseling was. And primarily the counseling will be done by like one of the pastors and the pastor's sure. wife. But to have other people within the church that are thinking that way and are able to maybe mm-hmm. not formally counsel, but be able to reinforce some mentor, of the things that are being taught, mentor
people,
disciple, you know, all of that. It just goes with it into the life of the church. I think how the church, like what it is about. And ultimately we want it to be an evangelistic, an outreach, you know, mm-hmm. Of being able to have other, not just counseling believers, but being able to counsel unbelievers and present the gospel and use that as a way to present the gospel and basically mm-hmm. start from the beginning. And you have, you know, an hour every week or however often it is mm-hmm. to be able to continuously go through the gospel and be like, until we mm-hmm. can get this, your life is going to be a wreck. Like, you're not going to mm-hmm. be able to fix this without knowing the truth of the gospel. Yeah. And so
that's so great. Like, you're just a place for the broken.
Yeah.
A very exactly. safe place for the broken. Yeah, I love that.
So, but that's enough about me. How was your week, or how has your week been the last couple weeks?
You know, it's been pretty busy. Same as you. Mm-hmm. So really, I had the first weekend available of the whole month. And then like the second weekend, I had a seminar. And then the next weekend, my father-in-law had his 60th birthday party in Louisiana. So we went to Louisiana. It's also my birthday weekend. And then I went to the Glory Conference with Jackie Hill Perry. And I am like, I'm still like really marinating. It's all just marinating. I'm still like processing a lot of what happened. One thing, there was just so much truth, you know, like my mom was supposed to go with me mm-hmm. and she ended up being in the hospital, so she couldn't make it. So they gave her a code so she could watch it online. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that I can go back and watch it again and take more notes, because it was just phenomenal. But one thing the Lord, and this might be a really good podcast episode for us in the future, but one thing that I am really working out in my head is this idea of worship. Because when we were there, I mean, it's Dallas, like it was in Dallas, like mm-hmm. not the outskirts of Dallas, it was Dallas. And one of my favorite things about the Glory Conference is that it was multi-generational, multi-ethnic.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be in a room, you know, I live in Flower Mound, Texas. Well, I live in Denton, but everything we do is in Flower Mound. And so,
right.
you know, very honestly, it's a very white area. Like it mm-hmm. just, you know, it really is. And so our churches, and I grew up in a white church, like it's, worship is different. Worship is mm-hmm. different. And one of my favorite things, I think, was the worship. And I just kept thinking, like, I know, you know, I always thought this in the IFB too, that we're not going to be at the throne of Jesus just standing there singing, mm-hmm. you know, like, I think there's going to be rejoicing and that's going to look different. And I just kept thinking, like, man, I feel like this is a taste of heaven, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I've had conversations with family members and friends and, like, you know, they'll come to my church and, you know, a guitarist may be really feeling the worship while he plays and they view it as like rock and roll and that he is distracted, you know, he's being distracting. And so I just have been thinking about how I don't think our emotions, because people will say worship's emotional, emotionally driven. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's a bad thing when it comes to worship, because I think God gave us emotions. And if anything, our emotions are to worship him. If we use them for anything, it should be to worship him. I think our emotions are terrible decision makers,
mm-hmm.
which is different than worshiping. You know, like, it's just different. The Black church is just different. And I was here for it and I loved it. And they get into it and they are dancing. And I am like, it was amazing. That's what I'm trying to say. And so I've been thinking this through just because of how I grew up and a lot of, even still a lot of different environments, that different family members are in or I'm in. And it's still that idea of we might raise our hands, but you're not going to see us clapping and dancing, you know,
partially because most of us don't have rhythm, but that's a whole nother conversation.
But that's just something that I've been thinking about, and you know, I was like, it was just so sweet. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I loved it, and I think all of her conferences are sold out, but they do have you can live stream them, and I would highly recommend it because it was worth it and it was great. So that's what I've been doing. Yeah, I feel like this intro is taking a while, but we're getting caught up. So
it probably has, but that's okay.
That's okay.
We're in it for the long haul.
There are some people who actually care about our lives. So
there are.
This is for you, friends. hey, our last episode was really close to my heart because I deal with it. And so studying for it, I didn't really go back and listen to our own voices, but I have, because I needed to remind myself. I have a lot of deadlines coming up and a lot of things happening. And I'm like, I needed to remind myself the things that I said, you know, to other people mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit gave me. I'm like, I need to remind myself of that. And so we talked about perfectionism on the last episode. And then there was something in there that we were talking about, and it was how, when we are trying to be perfect, when we are putting expectations on ourselves that we can't meet, and that becomes like the ultimate thing, you said that becomes idolatry. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, but I can go on about that forever. And I can have a whole episode on that. And so that's what we're doing. We're not having just one episode on idolatry, though. We're going to have two. Because it's that big of a deal.
Right. So also a little backstory to it. At the conference, we had a whole session on idolatry and idols of the heart. And I think that's when I reached out to you and said, hey, I'd love to do an episode on this. We had another one planned and that I was supposed to be doing some writing on, and it just never happened. And obviously I'm now looking back, I'm like, okay, I kind of see why.
The Lord had this.
And I think it's something that every person struggles with. It
every single person,
regardless of whether you're a believer or not, or whether you mm-hmm. are have been a believer for 60 years or 2 weeks. It just is a very common thing, and we're going to get into why that is. Why is it that our hearts I always think of the hymn Come Thou Fount, right? And within that it says, prone to wander, Lord, mm-hmm. I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Like that is hymn. That mm-hmm. is it's just within us. And so we're going to talk about that as well. But mm-hmm. I'm as strange as it may sound, really excited to get into these episodes about idolatry.
Yeah. So before we get started, let's define. So we're all on the same page here.
Because we like our definitions.
We like our definitions because I don't want anything taken out of context or like, did they say this? We're like, no, let's have a definition for what we mean this is.
Right. And not only that, but it's also allowing us to not assume that people know what we're talking about. Sure. Right. We never want to get to a point where we just assume someone's depth of knowledge or someone's knowledge when we're talking, like you said, what we mean by this when we talk about idolatry. We never want to be like, oh, everyone knows. No, we want to make sure that we define it. So go on ahead. Yeah. I think I interrupted you, which is probably going to happen a lot.
Love that. Love that for both of us. Okay. So yes, let's define what idolatry is. So an idol is anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts, our minds, and our affections more than God. So it's really elevating anything into the place. And we will get into this. We'll get into the weeds about it in a little bit, but it's really elevating anything in our lives. Anything that captures our hearts, our minds, or our affections more than God. That's an idol.
Yeah. And really, idolatry is when we talk about idolatry, we immediately think about a lot of times statues or, you know, things like that, or the Old Testament, the golden calf, you know, we it's easy to come up with those things and be like, that's idolatry. I don't worship a golden calf. But if we go back to our definition, anything or anyone, so a person as well can be an idol that captures our hearts, minds, and affections more than God has captured our hearts, minds, and affections. And really it is it's a worship problem, right? That it is a misplaced worship. I feel like we've said it multiple times on our podcast, but that people by nature are worshipers. We were created to worship.
Yeah.
The question comes is what or whom are you worshiping? Mm-hmm. Are you worshiping the God of the universe, the creator, the one who sent his son as a ransom, or are you worshiping yourself or your job? And we'll get more into that. I think a lot of this episode is going to be Shanna like reeling me back and being like,
you've
already
jumped ahead twice.
I know.
Letting you go. It's all, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak through you, sister. Yeah, keep going.
Because we'll get back to it.
Sure. Keep going.
But as always, we want to make sure that we are founded in scripture. And so we, of course, have lots of scripture to read. So one of the many places that we hear this similar types of verbiage or language in this verse is in Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That is the standard that we hold when we're dealing with the pervasive issue of idolatry. The standard that we are supposed to be going for is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might.
And I do think that idolatry is very pervasive, and oftentimes we don't even realize it, right?
Yeah.
We said in our last episode, there was a quote by John Calvin that said, the heart is an idol factory, right? And so expounding upon that, you know, the heart's an idol factory. It's able to take the most basic things, even good things, often good things, and twist them into sinful desires. Jeremiah said it, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And so oftentimes when we think of idolatry, it's not necessarily bad things. It could be good things that we make ultimate things, which we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And you kind of said it earlier, you know, I think oftentimes Christians are like, no, I worship God. I believe mm-hmm. in the Trinity. I love and trust him and I follow him. And so we think that we are exempt from idolatry, right? Mm-hmm. Because we don't verbally profess to worship something other than God. But it's like you said, idolatry is not just worshiping a golden calf or like this physical shrine that you have that you mm-hmm. worship, you know? It's if we value, honor, and treasure anything or anyone more than God, we have an idolatry problem. And, you know, sometimes it's like, it's really hard to identify because we said that they were really good things that capture our affections. And so there's some questions that, and we're going to break all those down in a little bit, but there's some questions that we need to ask ourselves. It's like, what do I value, honor, and treasure? What consumes my time, my energy, and my thoughts, you know? And we throw around the word idolatry oftentimes without even thinking about it, you know? So mm-hmm. like, if you're thinking of what an idol is, like the most basic definition of an idol is an image or representation of a god that's worshiped in its place. So immediately, like often people think of the golden calf, or, you know, you see it all the time in the Old Testament, all the time. They were just, they were worshiping things other than God, the Israelites, all the time.
Well, and yeah, you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to an idol that the king had created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah. We see it all the time. It's not just like the golden calf. I know that's an easy one to be able to throw out, but yeah, like you said, we see it all the time.
Yeah. I think, you know, the Bible really extends that idea of idolatry to be really anything we worship instead of God, not just carved images. And, you know, we see that in Exodus, in the first two commandments. Mm. He said, you know, in Exodus 20, it says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have any other gods besides me. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters underneath the sea. Do not bow and worship to them and don't serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, bringing the consequences of the father's iniquities to the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." And so what he's saying is, don't have any other gods before me and don't worship these images, right? Mm-hmm. And you said it earlier, our hearts are made for worship. We were mm-hmm. created to worship. So is it worshiping God or worshiping something else?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where, again, we're going to go back and you're probably going to hear that a lot where we referred to this earlier, because in my mind, they all just kind of blend together. And so as I start talking about one, I've jumped to the other and I jumped to the other. But we'll definitely put resources. I've not been as great about it, in the description. Oh.
The TBD that we got.
TBD. I know.
I died.
Well, it's because
we're ahead. It's fine.
We're ahead. And I had uploaded it, the description, for those of you that didn't catch it, the description for a few hours on Monday morning that we released this last episode said TBD because I had to put something in there. But I didn't want to expend the brain power to come up with something. And so it just got posted that way. Anyways, I was talking about resources, but there's a couple different books that I've read that have been personally helpful for it. One of them is by Brad Bigney called Gospel Treason. The other one is, I believe, by Tim Keller called Counterfeit Gods. And that's kind of the whole thrust of that book, right? Is he says an idol is a counterfeit God. It is something that we are trying to make God, but that just doesn't measure up and cannot ever be, in the same way that like counterfeit currency will never be real currency. You can try to pretend it is, you can try to spend it like it is, but it never actually is real currency. A really great quote that I love by G.K. Chesterton is, when we cease to worship God, we do not worship nothing, we'll worship anything. Mm. And that is, I think that's a very sobering quote to just sit and think about, because a lot of times we'll be like, oh, if I'm not worshiping God, I'm just not worshiping anything. Mm-hmm. And really, again, we've said we were created to worship. Our heart is bent towards to worship something, and most often an unredeemed heart will not worship God, but mm-hmm. a redeemed heart has the ability to worship God. But so often we are drawn away from that, and we'll worship anything else but God. Mm-hmm. Exodus 32 says, when the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, come, make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So they'd already forgotten the God that had led them out of Egypt.
Like, just prior.
Yeah, like split the Red Sea. There was no like if, ands, or buts. Like, I wonder who did this. This was God who led us out of the Red Sea, or led us out of Egypt through the Red Sea.
Burning fire.
Yeah, there's so many different things.
Yeah.
A pillar of fire. And and they're saying that Moses is the one who led them out. So the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt. And they wanted Aaron to make them a god to lead them out mm-hmm. of, because they thought Moses had disappeared and just abandoned them.
Yeah.
And so how quickly, and I know we say this a lot, we like look back and we're like, gosh, Israelites, how could you be so dumb? Like, mm-hmm. how could you be so dumb? Not realizing that we find ourselves in that same spot very often. Mm-hmm. Very often do we see ourselves in that. You said before that we are not exempt from idolatry just because we're Christians. That's not our like get out of jail free card. Like, I'm never going to struggle with having idols.
And, I believe in the one true God.
I believe. That's it. So I'm good.
Yeah.
But idolatry is very closely tied to our identities. Our culture puts a very heavy emphasis on our identity and our accomplishments. Even motherhood is a big one that people find. Many times women will find their identity in motherhood. They weren't a person until they became a mother. And go.
There's that. They don't feel like they are a woman until mm-hmm. they do what they feel like God created their bodies to do. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, I know many women who are empty nesters now. Mm-hmm. Like, I specifically in my life know many women who don't know who they are anymore because their children are married and gone, and they have their identity was in their children. And so, you know, honestly, like my granny, who obviously y'all have heard me talk about and I love and adore her, was like that. It was her mm-hmm. children, and then it was her grandchildren. And then when we got married and moved off, that was really difficult for her because her identity was mom and granny. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I don't know who I am anymore because of that, you know? And like, I think, you know, our kids are good gifts. Mm-hmm. Like, praise God for my babies. Like, they are good gifts. But they can become ultimate things mm-hmm. in our lives. Right. And I think I see this a lot, where I see moms looking to our kids for affirmations, like their love validates who we are and it makes us feel better about ourselves, you know? And so, you know, a lot of times like we're wanting to be in control of our kids' lives because we think we have this idea of what a perfect family should look like. And so if I can just control this, if I can control my children, this is what the perfect family will look like. And so really what we're doing is putting a standard of godhood on our kids because we're expecting, there's that word again, perfection mm-hmm. on them. And an example that came to mind was, and it came to mind because you've had a toddler, you know what this is like. And because I've done this. You think about when you're in a supermarket and your child is like tired or hungry, or they're toddlers. Who cares? You look at them the wrong way.
Their shirt's blue and not red.
Yes, like, exactly. And they start throwing a tantrum in a supermarket. Like they lose their minds and they're just crying and screaming. Most of the time, And honestly, if you are this mom or not this mom, I'm going to high five you and I want to meet you because I think this is everyone. Most of the time when your child is throwing that tantrum in the supermarket, you're not really concerned with their heart in that moment. You're concerned with what people think about you, your parenting, and how they're looking at you. So that is really this like self idolization of like, how are people perceiving me right now? You know, Paul Tripp said, children are a gift, but they make terrible trophies. And I see that all the time. And by that, I mean, like, even I can do that. I can do that too. Of like, look at what my kid did. Look at this. I'm so proud of them, you know, and like, we should love and support and uplift and encourage our children 100%. But there's boundaries on that. They're good gifts, but they're terrible trophies.
We also see self-idolatry in our use of social media.
Get out of here.
So it's not just
get out of here.
Not just motherhood. It's those that, you know, don't have, maybe you don't have kids. And so how you use social media, I know there's always the funny, you know, trope of devotions, right? The Christian influencer where they have their like Bible and their candle and everything perfectly done. And they take a picture and they post it on Instagram. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And they have all the, you know, highlighters set out perfectly. And they post it on there. And I want to hope that they are doing it out of encouragement, like, and it's aesthetically pleasing. But I know very often that typically is not the motivation behind it of like, hey, go and get in the word. It's very often it is
self-edifying.
Look at me. Look at what I did, you know, and your use of social media can definitely be a way that we are focusing on ourselves and causing ourselves to be idols. But self-idolatry is not a new thing. It goes back to the garden. Adam and Eve thought that they knew better than God, right? And our culture tells us this in a lot of different ways. They'll tell you, you know, do daily affirmations and have all these things up to remind yourself that I am a strong, independent woman. Rather than what is the truth is that I'm totally weak. But Christ's strength is made perfect in my weakness. He's the one that I draw the strength from. It's God who supplies all my needs. It's not because I have a job and that I've provided for myself and because I'm, you know, the boss and boss babe or whatever it is that we like to throw out.
Hashtag
boss babe. It's not because I've done all those things, but it's because God is supplying those needs. He made me, he sustains me, and every good gift is from him. Instead, we're told that you did this. Well, you did a great job. You did you are the one who are providing all of this. And it puts us at the center.
Yeah, that is self-idolatry to its core. I also think that we can idolize earthly pleasures, right? There are things the world will tell us that will make us happy. We will be happy and we will have a happy life if we have these things. You know, there's lots of them. There's lots of them. But I think the one that I'm going to hit on the most right now is things like comfort and safety. When I think of that, what gives us comfort and what makes us feel safe, a lot of the times it's money. And money can be an idol in many, many ways. But, you know, it's really a control thing. So there's like a couple ways, you know, like some people hoard money so they feel safe. You see this a lot in elderly people because they have been through things like Great Depressions and they've been through a lot of different things where they didn't have it. And so they hoard it and it makes them feel safe and secure. Or we see this a lot in today's generation. It can be an acceptance thing. They use money to look a certain way, to be included in certain social circles, right? Yeah. So money is like a really big, many things can make you feel comfort and safety, you should feel safe, right? Like you mm-hmm. should feel safe. But things like money, we can idolize. And man, like Luke 16, 13 says, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so I think what is so appealing about the prosperity gospel to so many people is that, mm-hmm. is that if I do all these things, God will give me all these things. Mm-hmm. And that will give them comfort, that will give them safety. The thing about it is God never promised maternal riches. You will not find that in scripture.
Right.
He did promise we will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
That's not the promise that
he
people
promised.
Like to write on their wall, right?
Exactly. But take heart, right? Like, I've overcome the world. In this world, you will have trial and tribulation. He did say that we will suffer. But he also, I mean, he promises the riches of his grace in abundance, which is far greater than money, right? And so when we will run to the prosperity gospel for comfort and safety, because it makes us feel good, which your feelings cannot be trusted. We've already said that. But when we do that, we're deceiving ourselves into believing that we are honoring God, when really what we're doing is twisting scripture to support our own idolatry of money. And that, my friend, can happen a lot.
Yeah.
We can twist scripture a lot to support mm-hmm. our own idolatry. Jen Wilkin said, there's your bingo right here.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way. Says that idolatry occurs when we try to fashion God into our image, or another way to say that is into what we want him to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something, like, you know, when we're looking at like our heart and like the posture of our heart and then things that we find most valuable. And are we worshiping the God of the Bible, or are we trying to fashion him into what we think he should be? That's super convicting.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is that our natural disposition as fallen humans is to be an idol factory. And that's, if you think about a factory, like it going down the assembly line, like it's just idol after idol after idol after mm-hmm. idol. We often commit idolatry by stripping God of those things that we don't like about God and replacing the biblical God with a distortion or a distorted God. It's like a buffet is what we think. Like, oh,
all
I'll
you
take
can eat.
This. Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, okay. So now I'll take the love and the grace from God. During, you know, in this trip to the buffet, but I'll leave the justice and the holiness out of it, because I might be in a place where his justice and holiness would cause me to feel conviction. But boy howdy, you better believe when someone's wronged us, we will absolutely drop that grace and love from God that God is, and pick up that justice and pick up that
what a good analogy, Kristen.
Holiness. Like, it'll be like, oh, I'm this trip, I'm going to bring this because God is holy and he is just.
Yeah.
He's also loving and kind and gracious. And that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that we are a doormat and let everyone trample all over us when we've been wrong. But it does mm-hmm. mean that oftentimes we tend to weigh that he is holy and just over that when we have been wronged. Mm-hmm. And so, if you don't get anything out of it, it's that God is not an all-you-can-eat buffet mm-hmm. In that sense that you can only pick and choose attributes of God that you want to
mm-hmm.
hold on to for that day or that moment.
Yeah, because, you know, honestly, friend, I'm going to remember that because that's a great analogy.
Thank you. I came up with that on the fly.
That was phenomenal. And it made me think, you know, like you're saying, if you strip God of the attributes, in your thinking, in your doctrine, in your theology, all good things,
mm-hmm.
your theology, hopefully is solid. Praise the Lord. That's what we're here for. But if you strip God of his attributes in those things to just what you want, you're committing idolatry, because the God you're worshiping is not God.
Mm-hmm.
If your God is not sovereign, your God isn't God. If your God isn't holy, your God isn't God. If your God isn't just, your God isn't God. He's all those things, along with loving and kind and patient. Praise the Lord for those things.
Yeah.
And so that was really good, Kristen. I liked that one.
Thanks. I even when I go off the notes, it works.
Loved it.
So as we learn to identify idols, we've talked a lot about idols. We want to first look to God's word, of course, to be able to guide us. Scripture uses the words idols to describe anything that we place above God. And in modern times, idols are usually not bad things. They're not these horrible things that you would look at and be like, oh no, stay far away from that because that's an idol. Typically, I'm going to say typically because I don't know everyone in their lives. We don't set up statues to worship Baal as they did in the Old Testament. This is a whole nother topic, but Matt and I were just talking about how like the occult and witches and all of that has started taking a stronghold in the U.S. and it's very strange. So I would not be surprised if we start
demonic
seeing
is what
that.
It is.
Yes.
It's
I would
demonic.
Not be surprised if we started seeing that become more prevalent and more run of the mill.
Normal.
The use of crystals. All of those things are demonic.
Also,
I'll just say
hey,
it.
And let's just call this what it is. You have Christians. I'm kind of doing air quotes. Can't see them, but people who would profess Christ as their Lord, but also turn to astronomy.
Astrology.
What is astronomy?
Astronomy is the study of stars. Astrology
is
like attributing like
yeah.
the stars
okay.
and that they
so
have powers.
There's one.
Different
there's
things
one
like
of those
that.
Two, and I picked the wrong one. But yes,
it's all right. But yeah,
but turning
absolutely.
To that, yeah.
So I'm not going to say that those we don't see that at all, because like I said, I do think that we are going to see it more often, and we are seeing it more often than I think we did 20 years ago. But we don't usually. Most of the time, as believers, we take God's blessings and elevate them above Him. Romans 1, 20 through 21 through 23 and 25 says, for though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. We look to these idols to fulfill us and give our lives meaning and purpose and righteousness or worth or whatever else you want to put in there. But Scripture tells us that we were made to know God and enjoy Him forever. God promises to provide all that we need and to fulfill our deepest desires in Himself.
Preach, sister. We were made. Let's say that again. We were made. You know, one thing I learned at the Jackie Hill Perry conference, the Black church does, I mean, I'm here for it. When you convict them or they agree with you, they will stand up in the middle of your sermon. And usually if they're convicted, their hands go on their hips. And this would be that moment for me where I just stand up and I'm like, we were made to know God and enjoy Him forever, period. I love that. You know, we said that earlier that idolatry is misplaced worship. And it's also misplaced hope, right? We need to remind ourselves that Christ is our living hope. When we are worshiping something other than God, oftentimes unintentionally, right? That's why we constantly have to preach the gospel to ourselves. And what we're doing is we are misplacing our hope. Tim Keller says that idolatry is always the reason we ever do anything wrong. We want something else more than we want Jesus, and we're willing to sin to get it, or we sin when we don't get it. I think I read that like four times when I saw that like in our notes.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's like really powerful. I'm going to read it again.
Yeah.
Idolatry is always the reason we ever do anything wrong. We want something else more than we want Jesus, and we're willing to sin to get it, or we sin when we don't get it. And so I used a phrase earlier on this episode and on the next episode we're going to come back to. Good things become idols when they become ultimate things. This can happen with family values, good theology, doctrine. It can happen. Marriage is a good gift from God.
Yeah.
And a lot of single people who are older, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, marriage can be that ultimate thing. Mm-hmm. That if I just have this, I'll be happy. And then they get married, maybe, maybe not. But if they mm-hmm. do, there's going to be something else that they want.
Right.
Because their heart's desire is not Christ. So it really can be anything. That's not wanting to become a mother is not a bad gift or a mm-hmm. bad thing. That's a good gift, you know? It could be anything. It could be you're really struggling at your job and you want this better job. And if I just had that job, my life would be so much easier. Mm-hmm. It's when good things become ultimate things. And so we can look to these things to save us if we're not careful. And so we have to preach the gospel to ourselves every mm-hmm. single day. And by God's grace, we don't just talk about idolatry in the Old Testament. We also talk about it in the New Testament, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us to flee from idolatry. 1 John 5 says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. So this isn't something that just the children of Israel struggled with, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that we see, and we keep saying this, but it's something that we see in each one of us. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take anything from this, the one thing I would love for you to take is we have to take idolatry seriously. Mm-hmm. I think for many of us, we look at it and we say, oh, it's not that bad. Because mm-hmm. I'm still going to church on Sunday and I'm still reading my Bible and I'm still serving in the youth ministry and I'm still playing piano on Sundays and I'm still doing all this. So it can't be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But idolatry is a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
John Owen famously wrote, and I think everyone quotes this, is that you be killing sin or sin will be killing you.
Oh, we need that on a sweatshirt.
Oh, we do.
Just a reminder. My husband would say no more sweatshirts, but yeah.
Well, yeah. I need people to stop doing sales. I know you have yours on. I need them to stop running sales so that I don't buy any more sweatshirts, but
be killing sin or sin will be killing you.
Sin will be killing you.
It's one or the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, sin will not be left dormant and just not wreak havoc and chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an option.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either you're going after those idols, and I think we'll get into this in the next episode, but you're praying, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Try me. Reveal to me what those idols are, because I guarantee you I'll say it in the next episode, but I guarantee you if you pray that, God will absolutely show you those idols. Jeremiah 2 says, they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. He's saying that Israel had abandoned their fountains of living water for broken cisterns that can't hold water. And that's what we do when we go after idols.
Yeah, I want to read something. You like how I just jumped out of my chair to
you
run
did.
My Bible.
You disappeared. And I was like, all right, I'm going on.
I want to read something. I read this and about this specific verse and I thought it was really interesting. And mm-hmm. I didn't put it in our notes, but now that we're here, I want to read it.
Here it is.
So, you know, Israel abandoned the fountain of living waters for broken cisterns that could hold no water. So let's look at context about this mm-hmm. verse. I thought this was very powerful. So,
yeah.
Palestine has three sources of water. Okay. So you have the best is fresh running water that flows from a spring or a stream. And they would call that living water. Like it was fresh and it was great to drink. And there's lots of verses in the Old Testament. I can link these in the show notes that talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's spring water. Okay. Fresh natural water. Then comes groundwater that you might collect at a well, right? And then the last is runoff water that's collected in a cistern, which is really like this limestone. It's like this, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, it's just a pit mm-hmm. that is made into limestone and plastered to prevent it breaking, like things running out of it, right?
Yeah.
And so in Jeremiah's, like what he's saying is, not only have the Israelites traded the best of water supplies, living fresh water, for the worst, but their cistern's broken. So all the water has leaked out and nothing but sludge remains. Mm-hmm. So, and that just goes on to say that, you know, just how ungrateful the Israelites were, how, it left them without help in the coming days. Cause if you were reading Jeremiah with us through our Bible reading, you could see everything that Jeremiah was like warning them about. And so for me, that was just so interesting to like know what was happening, like geographically and culturally, and that, they abandon what was good for things that would ultimately destroy them. Right. Mm-hmm. But for God,
'cause you couldn't live on cistern water sludge. Or like, yeah, sludge
is what it was,
because it's not holding water.
Yeah.
It makes me, sometime I'll have to tell you the story. I think I told you the story about my grandpa's cistern at his house that
I don't know that I have. And I feel like I need to hear this.
It was under his garage. And one day he heard this loud boom, and basically the garage floor had fallen into the cistern because it wasn't full. Like they had blocked it off. So it was just like an empty cement room. And so it was just this whole thing. We're like, of course. All that to say, that's what it makes me think of when I think
you have like a very vivid
exactly
connection to that.
Where I think of like, it's a cistern, a broken cistern that can't hold water.
As long as we're running after anything that's not God to satisfy us, we're going to miss out on full, unadulterated joy and satisfaction, which is what our heart wants, right? And we think all these other things can give us that, but it can't. Like, our hearts were designed to cling and to worship something. So we have to replace the idols in our lives with hearts that worship something more beautiful. And so, praise the Lord, scripture tells us that, right? Like, it's interesting to me how we would worship like false images of God when we have the perfect image of God in scripture, right? Mm-hmm. We have Jesus. And so this is one of my favorite, I get chills every time I read this verse. Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. We see in Colossians 1 that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and by him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that passage because it just said, you know, we are trying to replace God for what makes us feel good, you know, these desires that we want. And then we can look to scripture to see like the perfect image of who God is, Jesus. I don't know. I really love that verse. I love that passage so much.
It's a good one.
It's so convicting every time. It's beautiful. I think people can say Jesus is the object of my true worship. They can say that. You can say it, but then are you living it? Mm-hmm. So it's not just knowing Jesus, but living as he is Lord, as he is ruler of your life. That's different.
Yeah.
You can profess all you want. Are you living as if he is Lord in your life? Mm-hmm. And if you're not, your heart's an idol factory and it is producing those idols. That's taken your affection away from who God is.
Yeah. Well, that takes us to the end of this episode. In our next episode, we'll talk more about the practicality of idolatry and how there is good news for those of us who are in Christ. Mm-hmm. But this has been a good one, a good setup to that, to the practical. I love the practical. I think that's one of the reasons why we were so well together. It's because I love the practicality of it, of, okay, theology mm-hmm. is good, but if you don't put it into practice,
mm-hmm.
it's not good for much.
100%. 100%.
And so I love the practicality aspects of it. And you do such a good job of setting the foundation. And so I truly appreciate that. But we are going to end this episode because we weren't going to try to make this all one episode, because this one is long enough. I'm sure the next one will be as well. So until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.